This evening we expound the third petition of the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Along with that, let's read from sacred scripture the epistle to the Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Begin reading at verse 12. Read through the end of the chapter. Apostle Paul is speaking here as a regenerated believer in the struggle of the old man and the new man. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, the law, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. On the basis of that passage, and many others throughout the Old and New Testaments, the Heidelberg Catechism explains to us the third petition of the Lord's Prayer. Lord's Day 49 of the Heidelberg Catechism, page 26 in the back of your Psalter, which is the third petition. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That is, grant that we and all men may renounce our own will, and without murmuring obey thy will, which is only good, that so everyone may attend to and perform the duties of his station and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels do in heaven. Beloved of God, the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching us how to pray. And now he's teaching us how to petition our God, make requests of our God. We may pray, make requests for what we believe are pure desires of our heart, even if they are not specifically one of these six petitions of the Lord's Prayer. But even when we pray for what we believe are right, pure desires of our heart before God, even if those things are beyond specifically what he taught us to pray for in this Lord's Prayer, we must add to those requests, nevertheless, not my will, Lord, but thine be done. For the point, beloved, of prayer is not to change God's will. The point of prayer is to set ourselves before him and to make our requests that we believe are pure and right, good requests. But then even if He doesn't answer them the way that we want to answer them, to say to Him, even if it's not Thy will to give this, Thy will be done. The point of prayer is to conform my will to the will of God. It's a process, spiritual process, by which I conform my will to God's will. It has to strike us that the requests that the Lord taught us to make in the Lord's Prayer are very few. And that when it comes to dealing with the will of God, the Lord does not teach us to pray, "Lord God, let me please have my own will here." That's not anywhere in this Lord's Prayer, but the Lord explicitly commands the opposite. He commands us to pray, to say to God, "Thy will be done." And by teaching us that, He's teaching us a principle of prayer that should govern all of our prayers. That prayer has as its purpose, and that this must be what happens in the process of praying, that it is to conform us to the will of God and to give us submission to His will. True prayer, then, beloved, should either and preferably start in this humility, or it should come about in us in the process of praying. We're humbled and bowed before the will of Jehovah God. So often, it doesn't go that way, does it? We begin really intending to try to get God to give us our way in this prayer. We have something that we want Him to do. And then by grace, we remember what we already know, but we remember in the process of prayer that's right. The purpose of this is to humble me and conform me to Him. And then, Lord willing, at least by the end of our prayer, we say, "Nevertheless, Thy will be done, Lord." But the more progress we make spiritually as He grows us, the more mature we become, the more we move that "Thy will be done," at least in the attitude of our hearts, from the end of our prayer back up towards the beginning and the front where the Lord Christ has it in the Lord's Prayer, right at the beginning. The focus is on God and our submission to Him. The first three requests of the Lord's Prayer are all God-focused, aren't they? "Hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done." And all three of those requests really hang together as one. Where God's will is done, that's where His kingdom has come. And where His will is being done, and where His kingdom has therefore come, His name is being hallowed. The Lord teaches us to seek God and to bow to Him first. Right away, humble ourselves in prayer. And that's hard, desperately hard for us to learn and to grow in. It's hard to pray these first three petitions, really, truly, honestly. And since the rubber of God-focused prayer really meets the road here with the third petition, touches our lives most obviously, this third petition, beloved, is hard for us, desperately hard for us to really, truly pray. To really say, "Have Thine own way, Lord. Not my will, but Thy will be done." Sometimes the heart is there by God's grace, and the praying flows out of that. Sometimes we simply obey and do it, and the heart comes along. But either way, we learn in this petition, He is God, and I am not. I know Him in the praying of this petition. Can we really know God without praying this third petition, beloved? I don't think we can. In this prayer is the acknowledgement of what we know about Him in our head, that He's sovereign, that He is God. God is God. That's our confession, that He's majestic, that He rules. But in this prayer, that acknowledgement is not just something we know. It's something that it comes about and flows out of our heart in the life as we live before His face. God, grow us then also to be able to pray this third petition. Thy will be done, Lord. Have thine own way. Let's see what it means tonight, what it means to pray this tonight under the theme, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. First, God's way and ours. There we'll look at God's will and our will, how they go together. Second, praying for submission. That's what we're praying for. And then third, let's notice we're asking this of God, making a request of Him. God has a way. Have thine own way, Lord. God has a way. God's way is His will. A will is desire expressed in a decision. Desire expressed in a decision. God has that. God is not a machine up in the sky. He's not some impersonal life force out there somewhere, but He is a personal being. And part of being a personal being is to have a will, to make decisions. All of God's decisions are one, but His decision, His will, comes to us in two ways. First, there is the will or decision of God's decree. And second, there is the will or decision of God's commands. First decree, God has made, beloved, a decision in all eternity. Before He created anything, before there was ever time, He's made a decision for how all things will go in time. That decision is called His decree. And because He is God and He is sovereign, all-powerful, when He determines to decree what is going to happen in time, that decision is also sovereign, divine, all-powerful. This will of His decree determines everything that will happen. Isaiah 46, verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Even the wicked king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, had to admit in Daniel 4, verse 35, that this God, quote, doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, What doest thou? Nothing occurs, not sin, not evil, not good, not calamity, not good times, not salvation, not damnation, nothing but what He has decided, willed from all eternity. Then secondly, God has also made decisions for what is the right way for His creatures to live before His face. This will of God, aspect of God's will, these decisions are not determinative, but are prescriptive. These decisions do not determine what's going to happen. They simply prescribe what ought to happen. They are decisions that God makes about what is our duty before Him in accord with His own perfect character and righteousness. These decisions are contained in His commands in Scripture. The Ten Commandments and every other specific commandment that fits under those ten categories. The command even to repent of sin. All of this is God's will of command. And the Lord was told that His mother and siblings were there to see Him. The Lord Jesus spoke of this aspect of God's will, the will of His command. Matthew 12, verse 50. Whosoever shall do the will of My Father which is in heaven, do what My Father commands. Not whosoever shall do what He's decreed. Everybody does what He's decreed. But do what He commands. The same is My brother and My sister and My mother. When the Lord taught about hypocrites. Matthew 7, verse 2, He said, Not everyone that saith unto Me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of My Father which is in heaven, obeys His decisions for our duty, for our life. The Apostle Paul, in Romans 12, verse 2, Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be transformed in your life, so that you may prove, show forth, that God's commands, the will of His commands, are good, good by your obedience to them. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is the will of his command for you. Give thanks in everything in your life. Now it is especially this aspect of God's will, the will of God's commands, that the Lord Jesus has in mind when he teaches us to pray, "Thy will be done." Another aspect, the will of God's decree, is going to come back into play here. We'll see that later in the sermon, come back in through the back door, as it were. But the focus is on the will of God's command. The petition says, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That will of God's command is not always done on earth, but it is always done in heaven. The will of God's decree is done on earth all the time, every moment of every day. But the will of his command is not. It's perfectly carried out there, but not here. We're praying that God's commandments may be obeyed. Or we see around us that they're not. And chiefly, we see that in our own selves, in me. The one who's named the name of Christ, been regenerated from the heart. Where in the world are God's commands to be honored if not here and in my own life? And I see that I don't always obey them. Thy will be done in me, the will of thy command be done in me. The focus is on the will of his command. That's how the Catechism understands it too, isn't it? It explains the petition as the request. God grant that we may renounce our own will and obey thy will. That's the will of his command. And then that we perform the duties, the commands of our station and calling. The focus is on the will of God's command. That makes this request then very practical, very real. It arises out of the very heart of our Christian life. It makes it very palpable. It's not abstract. It's not something that I can't really get a hold of. It's not something mystical. It's not a prayer to try to get the inside scoop on the decretive secret will of God for my life. We're not asking God by saying, "Thy will be done." We're not asking him to really reveal to me his eternal decree concerning something this week or some decision I have to make later, so that I can follow that thing and remain doing thy will, remain in thy will, as some people sometimes say. You ever heard that? Better trying to decide between one job or another. Say sometimes I better pick the right job because I don't want to be outside of God's will. What they generally mean is, I don't want to be outside of the will of his plan. I don't want to step out of his plan for my life. As though his plan is not sovereign, as though that's something that's possible, that I can be outside of his plan. And so, just take for example, they're thinking about trying to buy a coffee company as their job. Start to take the fact that it seems like more people around me are talking about coffee than they ever were. That must be a sign from God that I must buy this coffee company. And if I don't, that's going to mean that I'm outside of God's will. I'm outside of his plan. But when the Lord teaches us to pray, "Thy will be done," it's not what he's talking about. It's not a prayer to God, "God, show me what thy decretive will is in advance. Give me some signs so that I don't miss your plan for me." It's not the point. We can be outside of God's will, beloved. But we can't be outside the will of his decree, will of his plan. If we're making a decision, that ought not be the concern. Our concern should be whether or not we're outside of the will of his command. His command. That will we can be outside of. Here's how you make that decision then about the coffee company. subject it to the will of God's commands? Will doing this take me away from the church? Will doing this affect my generations, my family, negatively, spiritually? And God's will, His command is don't do it. And no matter how many people are talking about coffee all of a sudden around you, His command is don't do it. Does doing it put you in a position where you're influenced to worldliness? Does this feed an idol in your heart if you would do this? Something that you know is an idol in your heart to make it 100 times harder for you to battle this idol, you know you're going to fall. Are there other commandments of God that bear upon this decision? If not, if no command of God, any way, directly or indirectly, bears upon this decision, then I'm free to do what I desire with this. Maybe then I can look to follow a sense of calling or even some providential open door. But if yes, if His commands shade something in this, then no matter how many open doors there seem to be, I may not do it. His command is no. If I still do it, I'm outside the will of His command. And while I still can be sure that I'm not even now outside the will of His plan, the will of His decree, I'm not. He decrees everything. Even my sin. I can know this. That of a surety, He has also decreed chastisements and consequences for my sin in my life. Our prayers in my life for direction must always be the way Jesus teaches us to pray here in the third petition, driven by submission to the will of God's command. What are Thy commandments, Father? And how do they affect my life? Grant to me submission to that. Have Thine own way, Lord. In Thy commands, have Thine own way. That's what the Lord is teaching us to pray here. So the third petition has to do with God's will, and particularly the will of His commands. But the third petition also concerns our will. Our will with respect to the will of His commands. The petition is not simply, God, Thy will exist. May Thy will be there. May Thy will exist. But rather, Thy will be done. Thy will be done by me and my will. In order to do His will, beloved, there must be an act of our will. Thy will of commands be willed by me. That's the third petition. God has created human beings with a will too. We have the ability to decide things. It's part of what it is to be human. Always we will have a will. When human beings go to heaven, when human beings go to hell, they will still have a will. They would cease to be human if they had no will. And that's taken into account, therefore, in this third petition. We're not praying for the dissolution of our will when we pray, Thy will be done. And that's not what the Catechism means either when it says that I am praying that I might renounce my own will. It doesn't mean that I might make it so that I don't have a will anymore, so that I don't will anything, just sort of carried along. But make it, Father, so that my will that Thou hast given to me is conformed to the will of Thy commands. So that what Thou dost command is what I want, what I desire, and what I decide to do in my thoughts, in my words, and in my deeds. That's precisely the problem, isn't it? That will that God gave to us can be informed and driven by the two different natures that are inside the child of God. The old man within us has an effect upon our will. What I want, and what I think and say and do out of what I want. In fact, apart from Jesus Christ, my will is only driven by that old man of sin. Outside of regeneration, my will is bound to seek, to will, to desire, to decide for sin. That was one of the great battles of the Reformation. In fact, according to Luther, it was the foundational one. When finally, Erasmus came to Luther and said, "Let's debate about the bondage of the will." Luther's reply was, "Finally, finally, somebody is getting to the heart of the matter. This is the foundation of it all." And Luther went on to prove in his book, The Bondage of the Will, that Scripture teaches everywhere that the will, apart from Christ, is bound to choose, to desire, to decide only for what is against God and for the self from the heart. It's like a fish in a fishbowl. Fishbowl of sin. Fish has a certain freedom inside that fishbowl to swim wherever he wants inside that water. No matter where he goes, he's always swimming in that water. Can't get out of that water. So too, an unregenerate man has a certain freedom, always underneath the sovereign decretive will of God, of course, but has a certain freedom to decide things, to do things, but always, always, his decision, he can't get outside of that fishbowl. He's moving around in the fishbowl of sin, so that whatever he does, whatever he decides, is always against God. His will is bound to that. Whether he goes to the store or doesn't go to the store that night, it's all in service to humanity, to man, to himself, to sin. They never can escape it in their heart. But in regeneration, God plants a new nature alongside of that old nature in one of his own, a nature that is pure, a nature that can only inform and drive the will to what is for God and not against him, a nature that wants what God has commanded. And that new nature identifies the child of God. It is us. As the apostle says in Romans 7, "This is me, the good that I want, I don't do. It's sin dwelling in me. This is me. This is who I am. It's who he recreated me to be." But that old man is still there. It affects me. It fights against that new man. And the will of God's child can now be driven at the root by the old or by the new, even if the old always affects the new. Come out of at its source, the old or the new. And therefore, there's a battle, there's a struggle, there's a war constantly. It's a battle for us to will with our wills the will of God's command. It's the struggle that the Apostle Paul is talking about in Romans 7. And notice how aware he is of his own will in this struggle. Verses 18 through 23. "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, the good that I will, I do not. But the evil which I would not, the evil that I don't will, that I do. Now if I do that I will or would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would or will do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members." He wants at his heart, when nothing else is around, he wants to do the will of Jehovah God. That's his identity as God's child. But he finds it's hard to perform what he wills because there's another desire inside of him vying for influence over that will and the thoughts and actions that come out of it. And he calls that evil power within sin that dwells in me. It's the old man. It's a battle. And that battle, beloved, is what we're praying about in the third petition. That battle leads to the cry of the third petition. It's the cry of the child of God who is identified in his heart by the new man and who wants in his innermost being to will the commands of his God. And he wars against that old man that vies for influence over his will and thoughts and actions. And he cries out, therefore, under that battle, God, do something here. Thy will be done in me. It's a prayer for divine strength to live in self-denial. Grant us, God, grant us to renounce our own will, the Catechism explains. But beloved, that first means that I have to see it, or my will is against the will of his commands. I have to see it, or what I want, and the decisions out of what I want from my thoughts, my words, and my actions. I have to see it, or what I want is against the will of his command. It's a prayer first, then, that God would shine the light of his word within by the Spirit to give us to see my sinful desires, my sinful willings. First of all, we're so blind to them sometimes. And the old man of sin is subtle, deceitful. Our sin nature can even try to use God, to co-opt God in language about God in order to prevent itself from being exposed as actually against God and against his will. Have you ever observed someone or found this in yourself? Someone who really wants to do something that God has commanded may not be done. Isn't it striking how often we use God, use prayer to God, to try to excuse the disobedience? I prayed about it. I prayed about it. And I'm at peace. I think God's okay with it. Having prayed about it, I just feel that this is what God wants me to do right now. I'm convinced that God is telling me this is the right thing. And I know it's right. I'm at peace. I've prayed about it. And people can say that even though God's word says, no, you mayn't. Prayer, beloved, is not access to some secret will of God that is only for you and that can excuse you from the will of his commands. And the peace that a person feels in that state is the peace of love for their own way. But the child of God sees that happen. And not just to others, but he sees that if it doesn't happen, the tendency in his own self. And all the more he prays, first this, Father, first this. Expose to me. I don't even always see it. Expose to me the ways in which I try to coddle my own rebellious will and pass it off as right and as thy will. Expose to me, Father, the idols of my heart, the things that I love and serve above thy commandments and thy will. Expose to me the things that have my allegiance at those deep root levels Expose to me the reasons why I find it so hard to follow thy commands, the things that I love. Expose to me that I think that there is life in this way, that there is hope and joy and peace and satisfaction. And show me, Father, that there is only death in this way that is against thy way. Expose to me how I am so like my first parents, Adam and Eve, who thought that not thy command, but that what they wanted against thy command was the way of life, was the way of joy, the way of peace, the way that would be better for them in the end. Show that to me, Father, that's in me. And then seeing it, give me to renounce it and to hate it. Move me up to that stage, to that level. I have a will, Father, that can be driven by that old man. It can be set on those things above thy commandments. Lord God, break that will in me. Give me the strength to live and to will out of the new man unto thy commands. And like a parent sometimes has to break the child's will by discipline, if it takes that, Father, then do that. Even that, break my will, Lord God, that it might be renounced. Send the consequences into my life. Show me so clearly that my own way is not right and not good, will ruin me and others around me. Have you ever had your will broken by the Lord God, beloved? I have. In chastisement, in consequences, circumstances of life. Did you pray then with so many of God's saints down through the ages, "Oh Lord God, it hurt, but thanks, thanks. It was a rescue. I needed it. I needed it. And if I need it later again, Father, do it. Do it. It's hard. It hurts. But I need it." In fact, beloved, it not only hurts, it's dying. This process is dying. The Lord said to pray this petition and to have it answered is to die. Matthew 16, verse 25, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." It's losing your life to renounce your own will. We identify ourselves so often by what we want, by our desires, even if they're wicked desires, and we ought not identify ourselves that way. And renouncing what we want that goes contrary to his commands, renouncing that for what he wants, it feels like suicide. It feels like I'm killing myself. I'm losing who I thought I was. But in reality, it's life. It's life for the first time. It's true peace and true joy. We could pray it so easily, beloved, when what I want, when I desire, goes along with what he commands. But when it doesn't, it's painful, it's death to me. It's losing my identity for another one, and it hurts. And that old man would sooner pray, "I will have my own way, Lord. I will have my own way. Am not I the potter? Art not thou the clay? Let me mold thee and make thee after my will. Here I am waiting. Yield, Lord, and sit still." And the Lord Christ knows it, beloved. He knows it. And before he brings us to the point in our prayer where he says, "Now you pray for petitions that have to do with you and your life on this earth," he sets us up spiritually right away. Before you get there, you say, "Not my will, Lord, but thine." Bow in humility. Give me the strength to seek what thou dost command. Give that to me so that I want it from the heart. From the heart. Catechism explaining the phrase of the third petition, on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, points out that we're praying for this alignment between our will and His commands from the heart. On earth as it is in heaven means, the Catechism says, as willingly and faithfully as the angels up there obey thy commands in heaven. The angels, beloved, don't drag themselves to obey God's commandments. It's not that they really want to do their own will and go against God's commands, but they're sort of forced into it, mumbling and complaining. They willingly follow the commands of Jehovah God. Gabriel willingly went without grumbling, murmuring, to fight the demon that was attacking the king of Persia. That's submission. That's alignment. Give me then, Father, whatever station or calling thou hast given to me, obey thy commands for me willingly. Give me as a father willingly to do my duty in my home from a heart of love for thee and for my home, even if it's hard. Give me, Father, as a mother, willingly submit to thy commands for me, knowing that they are good and right and blessed. Give me to be the kind of husband that I am to be. Give me to be the kind of wife that I am to be. Give me to be the kind of father, the kind of mother, to be a keeper at home as thou dost will that for me in thy word. Give me to be a faithful teenager, Father, not giving myself to peer pressure, but to thy will, to thy commands, in thy way, and to know that thy commands are good and right, and that though it feels like when I obey them I'm losing myself, my identity, who I am, and that to deny what I want feels like I don't know who I am anymore, Father, give that to me, to know that this is my true identity as thy child, and that it will be right and peace for me. That when it feels like if I'm not popular, I'm losing myself. I'm losing my life before my friends and others around me. Give me to know, Father, that I'm actually gaining my life for the first time. That the smile of my Father over me is better to me than hundreds of smiles of hundreds of others around me. Give me to submit to thy commands in whatever way they come to me in my life, willingly, faithfully. And then give me, Father, to submit to this will of thy command too. The one that says, submit willingly, thankfully, to the unfolding of the will of my decree in your life. You see, beloved, even though the third petition concerns the will of God's command, we have to realize that one of God's commands is to submit willingly to the will of His decree as that decree unfolds providentially in our lives. Here is one of God's commands. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, under His decree, that He may exalt you in due time. As the Lord did in the Garden of Gethsemane, when He knew that God's decree for Him, the unfolding will of His providence for His life, was to bring Him to the cross, to the rejection of His own Father. When He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine, in obedience to that command, give me that too, Father. Obedience to that command too. This too, beloved, is painful for us to pray sometimes. It's easy to pray when His unfolding decree is in line with what I desire, what I want for my life. But oh, so painful when it is not. And maybe especially painful when my desires that are now running up against His providential unfolding in my life our righteous desires and are even in line with what is the will of His command. Oh Lord God, give me a child to raise in the fear of Thy name. I'll do that, Father. We'll raise it in the fear of Thy name as Thou dost command. And He says, a good desire, child. A good desire. A desire that's in line with the will of My command. But not now, maybe not ever. And you must bow to that too. Oh Lord God, a place of service to Thee in Thy kingdom. It seems like it would be right, be in line with what my gifts are, Lord. Serve Thee. And I will, Father. I'll honor Thee. And He says, good desire, child. But in My providence, nope. Not now. Maybe not ever. Oh Lord, to be a mother to my children, I want to. Didn't You command me to? Didn't You command me to raise my children in the fear of Thine? But then I must live, oh God, and not die. Sometimes He says, oh child, good desire. But not this time. I'm going to take You to Myself. Lord, to see my granddaughter walk down the aisle in white, to be there to help her raise her children. Isn't that what a grandfather ought to do, Father? As a grandfather, I desire that. Good desire, child. But my decree is different here. And my command for you also is to bow to this too when it unfolds in your life. It's hard, beloved, so hard. To say to Him, have Thine own way, Lord, have Thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. That too feels like I'm losing my life. That I'm giving up control or power, which was an illusion anyway, but I feel like I'm giving up to Him. I'm losing me. So easily see ourselves at the center of things. It's our default position. But then we run up against a wall in His providence. Even sometimes living for Him, in pursuit of His commands, we run up against a wall sometimes, and we become suddenly aware, this God does not bow to what I want or even the way I want to serve Him all the time. We know that. If someone would ask us, we would say that. We know that, but don't always really believe it. Till we receive Job's answer out of the whirlwind. And where were you when I separated light from darkness? And where were you when I flung the stars in the sky like a blanket? Am not I God? Don't you think that I know what I'm doing? My counsel shall stand, and you will bow before me, and you will trust me as your God alone. Have you ever been in the melting pot of God's providence, beloved? Where He melts you down by His providence in your life. Where the heat of those circumstances melt you until you say, I will drink the cup that You have for me, Father. It's hard, beloved, it's hard. But as every melting removes the dross, so this one. We learn something that is so hard to learn, but it is so necessary for us to learn, that ours is not to seek the verification of our plans or desires in his unfolding counsel. But ours is to enter into the life that his counsel gives us, whether it's a way of sorrow or of joy. For in that, true Christian character is found. The child of God is lifted to his highest state. And he knows his God as he is. He's God. And I'm not. We fall so far short, beloved, in the praying of this and the living of it. If the apostle wrestled, that great apostle, so do we. The Lord Jesus himself knows that we wrestle day in and day out, and that we will. Why would he teach us to pray this if it was not for the fact that he knew that this was so hard for us, this side of glory? He did walk among us, you know, and observe our sinful, rebellious desires and will. When we pray this, are we not admitting to him our own sinful failings in this very area? As Luther said, we judge and accuse ourselves with our own words in this third petition, declaring that we're disobedient to God and do not do his will. For if we really did his will, this petition would not be necessary. Examine ourselves this week. Let's examine ourselves this week at this crucial point. Am I submissive to his commands? All of them. Including the one that says, bow humbly before my providential care, will in your life. Is my heart tender? Is my heart soft? Is it pliable? Willing to bow the knee? As we examine ourselves, beloved, we're going to cry out of the struggle in our hearts with the apostle, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Is this struggle going to be with me forever? But you see, beloved, coming to that point under self-examination, the admitting of the struggle and the failure and the sin of it is as necessary as the asking for the help. This is how he prepares us for the bread and the wine, the body of Jesus Christ, next Sunday morning. To come to the Lord Jesus Christ, whose meat and drink was always to do the will of his Father in every way, every command, all his life long. To the one who, even at the end, when his command was, submit to this providence in your life, that you go to the cross and bear the sins of many, forsaken of me, turns us to this Christ at this table next Sunday morning. This Christ who not only did the will of God positively, but who earned our ransom from the consequences for our willful rebellions. So that we say with the apostle, as we come running through those doors, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The Christ who grants that in that same cross we have the desire to go forward and to submit to God's will from the heart. This is a petition, beloved. We're praying this of God, and this is how he does it. This is how he gives this gift of submission in us. That he points us to the same cross of Christ. He points us right here again next Sunday morning. Where we see what love has done, how it's covered our rebellions, and that works in us a commitment of gratitude that takes over the will, so that I say, I don't want to do my own will. I don't want to go my own way. I don't want my idols. I want to honor this God who has so loved me that he willed that his own son go to the cross for me. This is my Father, and has he not proved it in that cross? John 5, verse 30, the Lord Jesus says, I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. It was the fact that he knew him as his Father, but allowed him to submit to the will of God's commands and the will of his decree. So too, beloved, we can only pray, thy will be done. If we have first prayed, our Father who art in heaven, hearing him say, I am your Father in Jesus Christ, this will that comes down upon you in commands and in decree that you must bear comes from a Father who sent his only begotten Son to the cross for you, and who as a Father to him sent what was good and right to him for his glorification. And as a Father, I send what is good and right for you for your glorification one day too. I love you. God's child then can say, my Father sent me this command to be obeyed right now in my life when it is hard. My Father sent me this providence to be bowed before willingly from the heart in my life when it's hard. By the gospel, beloved, his will, instead of being a burden that I have to bear, becomes a power that carries me through this life into his loving arms. Have thine own way, Father. Have thine own way. Amen. Father in heaven, grow us and strengthen us. It's nice to know that the Lord Jesus Christ recognized what a struggle this is. Father, teach us to pray it from the heart. Grow us. To recognize thy fatherly goodness in all of it, command and decree. In our Redeemer's name, amen.